Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Enterprise Dish. We are going to be talking about one of the hottest products yet again for the, I don't know, how many years has it been? But Office 365, Microsoft 365 has been the hottest product inside of Microsoft for a long time because it just continues to do, 115 million daily users of Teams just kind of speaks for itself.
115 million. That was a couple of weeks ago, man. Yes. Like, I was just extrapolating the math. Yeah. We should be at 172 million right now.
Well, if you think the interesting thing, too, is so, you know, again, back of the napkin math, 115 million daily users of Teams, that's roughly half of the overall Office 365 right. commercial subscription base, which there's two ways to look at that. It's like, one, there's still just massive amount of growth potential ahead, although we know that some seats aren't sold and licenses are sold, so it's not a perfect analogy. But at the same time, 50% adoption of the product in about, 3 years is, that's nuts.
It's actually epic. There's if anybody out there are interested, look up this paper called Diffusion of Innovation. Mm. It talks about technology adoption in organizations around the world. And they found that typically adoption on the average is around 34%. So you're right.
Wow.
50% is insane, but we're in insane time. So it's a different Whoops. Metric.
Yeah, but just check this little piece of metal that's sitting on my desk here. That is, we are 45 seconds into a podcast and I've already learned something. That's awesome.
Diffusion of innovation.
Look yeah. You know what? There's going to be a link down below because I'm going to want to read that. And if I'm already reading it, everybody should take a look at it.
And one quick thing though, yeah. You're right, right? It's almost half of Microsoft 365 user base, but how much Office license have Microsoft sold since the beginning of time?
Oh.
Just straight up Office.
Oh.
So don't even count bootleg copies.
Yeah, I know. Well, so the numbers that are jumping into my head, the first one that jumped into my head is Microsoft, I thought, said at one point that there are 1.5 billion Office users around mm-hmm. the globe.
Right around, right? Yeah. In the billion. So
yeah.
If you look at that room for growth for Microsoft 365, right? Like mm-hmm. forget a billion, but even just 500 million,
yeah.
it's doable. And then there's the opportunity for Teams to further grow.
Yeah, that is, it's incredible. Like, it's a really fascinating point, which dovetails very nicely into the announcement. This actually occurred this week. I guess that depends on when you're listening to this podcast, is that Microsoft is really opening up the extensibility model of Teams, specifically targeting meeting and collaboration experiences with third-party products, which is going to be, again, just another solid step on that journey of making Teams the complete collaboration hub rather than just maybe your meeting and document hub.
And remember, Brad, when we had our recording a few episodes back, what did I tell you about Teams? Teams is a new business operating yep. system or yep. collaboration operating system. And it's continuing to grow with all these new app capabilities, certainly for meetings. It's mm-hmm. huge. And you know, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this with the integration of Power Platform, Oakdale, now Dataverse. So the universe of Teams is really expanding.
Yeah. And that Oakdale, or what is it? Teams, Dataverse for Teams, or whatever they're calling it now. Right. But Oakdale, if you're Googling things and looking for a quick hit, is a really interesting product, or I should say application and scenario. Shane Young, who we both know, did a great post for us about how you can build your first app for Teams using Oakdale in about 5 minutes. Like, it's really, really neat how those low-code, no-code solutions are making citizen developers able to take advantage of the rich functionality and data that is enabled inside of the Teams platform. It's super interesting stuff.
Mm, absolutely. So what are your thoughts around these Teams meeting apps? Any scenarios you thought of that would be useful? I mean, now that you're full on using Teams.
So the one that is completely applicable to like my daily workflow is the Jira integration. Now, there's not a specific Jira, I don't think Jira meeting app, but there's definitely a Jira Teams app. And so we have started using that specific integration for documenting things, like when we're building out sites, when we have bugs on Petri.com. We're going to be doing some data migrations here in a little bit. And we've been using that platform inside of Teams, which is way more useful than having to fire up the browser, go to this specific area. Right now, I can just all within the conversation is with Nick, who is our primary developer, just completely triage and bug and track everything inside of a conversation. Which I know people are gonna be like, but like, it's really helpful. It's really helpful knowing that I can go into Teams and know right where it is, rather than having to open up a website, go to that page, go to that project, go to that bug. It's just there's something to this, and I shouldn't even say something. There's a lot to this, and it's, I think we're step one and a half into it of like a 10-step journey.
And I think Microsoft already realizes that, right? Because in the past, there's this construct, especially in enterprise technology, that everything has to be siloed and distinct. Oh, when you're going to communicate, use email or do chat. But then when you're working on Jira, go to Jira, right?
Yep.
But then Microsoft realized that everybody wants things in context. Like you said, in a conversation, you can pull up that Jira ticket or refer to it, and among other things. And that's how we naturally communicate and collaborate in our personal lives as well. You use these messaging apps, you attach documents, you send pictures. No matter how many times I tell people, hey, just go to OneDrive and look at pictures, no, they still attach it on SMS and send it, right?
Yeah, no, you are exactly right. And it's that context specific attributes that are really, really helpful, because the way it works in Teams is I can open up the Teams app inside of Jira and see the specific ticket. But what's more important is sometimes that conversation that led up to the ticket being submitted, because I could be talking, for example, we had a plugin, this was like 48 hours ago. We had a plugin that stopped working on our site because it needed an update, and rather than self-updating, you know, it broke. And so we can walk through the triage steps of how did we get to the point where things we knew were broken and what was the impact. And so what that honestly helped me do is revisit that conversation this morning, because I had to go alert a bunch of our authors that says, hey, this plugin is now updated, and if you need its functionality, this is how you enable it. And so Nick, who is much more savvy than I am, was able to help me understand where and how that that plugin that broke was impacting our site. And so that contextual information was super, super helpful.
Yeah, and absolutely. And if you realize, well, just typing and communicating with Nick is not good enough in that same thread, right? You can jump on a call and make sure the call is recorded. So the recording is in context. So should you get another person involved, they can follow that thread, listen to your call, look at the ticket. And that is powerful.
And that is the benefit, because if we just sent that new user or that new person to the Jira website for the ticket, they would be missing so much of what led up to that process. And it also just helps with the conversation of, hey, did you already do these things? Well, it's all right there in line. It's huge.
I mean, not to keep on talking about this, but I want to stress this very important point that you just raised, right? If we have a new person into this party, what would we do traditionally? We would forward like 10 emails. Hey, go read these 10 emails and look at this Jira ticket. And by the way, listen to this recording. It's hard to connect all those dots. But then if you have this in a single stream within that context, imagine knowledge transfer, imagine learning and onboarding would be much faster and quicker.
Yeah, absolutely would be, which sort of, again, dovetails nicely into just another minor bit of news, although it's good and not as good as I think people are going to hear when I read the headline, is that Microsoft is bringing fast account switching to the Teams desktop app. But what it looks like, it's a little confusing, because it looks like this is completely related to the personal accounts. Now, that's what we initially thought. And then there was an update on the Microsoft 365 roadmap that actually showed an image of multiple tenants inside a screenshot. But Microsoft hasn't explicitly confirmed that we'll be able to fast switch tenants. But we're all hoping that will be coming here in December.
Personally, if I can do anything about it, and maybe I can call Uncle Jeff. It's not even the concept of switching. I would just wish that I don't have to worry about, oh, which tenant is it or where should I go? It will just all come in, right? Because sometimes I fail to switch to a tenant and I have unread chats elsewhere. Mm-hmm. It would just be great that all my chats come in or all the teams show up in a single interface, truly having that one-stop shop. That's my dream scenario.
And I bet I can guarantee that Microsoft is well aware of that scenario. There's just a lot of interesting challenges, sure. right? Data privacy, right? If you're in a HIPAA compliant tenant and I'm not, and I message you, like, should that show up in line? Is that then HIPAA compliant? There's a lot of those, I'm sure, logistical challenges, but I fully agree because I jump between tenants as well. Even just a notification somewhere that says, hey, switch tenants and make life easier, I think is the next logical progression for where teams will hopefully head.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So other things happening. This has been available in the US for a while. And candidly, I didn't know this was not available outside the US yet. But if you're familiar with Play My Emails, which is in the Outlook app, it's now going international. It's going big time. So
have you used it?
I use it infrequently, candidly, mostly because the biggest place to use it is like when you're driving or something like that. And not really driving anywhere, ducks. So, yeah.
So what I would like to do, I when it came out, I tried it. It's okay. But what I would like to do is Cortana taking action. Like if Cortana reads something, right, she would say, you know, hey, Brad reached out asking about this and tell Cortana, hey, can you schedule a meeting, send this document, and that would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of these like rich collaboration features that are like, here's an interesting example, and you can sort of do this today, but candidly, like I ping Ducks at least once a month, obviously, because we do this podcast. I say, hey, Ducks, what's your availability for X, Y, and Z? And what would be great is it would be potentially tedious. Maybe this is the downfall of Ducks could just set up, says, hey, when Brad messages me about podcast, I need to be in XYZ, or, you know, set the parameters to just automatically reply. You can do that, I believe, somewhat internally, right?
Well, no, you can do it with Microsoft, somewhat with Microsoft Scheduler.
Yeah.
So Microsoft Scheduler works internally and externally, which is kind of cool because we all play the schedule, the email game, right? Where, especially if there's a bunch of people with Microsoft Scheduler, if you all are not familiar, just look it up. You enable it for your account, and then you just CC Cortana and say, hey, Cortana, can you schedule the meeting? And then what Cortana would do, Cortana would just organize it within individuals and then figure out what's the best date without having this mass reply all going on.
Yeah, I knew there was something along those lines. And honestly, I thought that was internal only. So there you go. Another top tip from Ducks today.
I'll actually, I recorded a short video around this on how to set it up, how to use it. I'll share the link. Brad will drop it so you can look
down below. Yep, you'll be able to find that down below. And then Ducks, I tweeted this out yesterday because it was on top of my mind, and I am curious on what side of the fence you fall on. So Teams is great. It's good for collaboration and all that stuff. But I personally would love it if Outlook had a little button, you know, next to the call icon or messages, I could click Outlook, and that way I could do my email inside the app. Now, this sparked a little bit of a debate. Some people are like, no, I want email and Outlook, and I want it far away from Teams. And some people are like, yeah, that's the best thing ever. What side of the fence are you on, Ducks?
I want it to be distinct. I want it to be separate because
fighting words, by the way, fighting words.
Yeah. No, I want it to be distinct because as we all discussed, right, on one end, Teams is now becoming a business operating system, as I've described, right? But then if I bring Outlook in, what's going to happen, and I know myself, I'll revert back to some of my bad habits where in my mind, Teams is phenomenal for Teams communication, Teams collaboration. It's not going to be so easy and tempting for me if I see Outlook, I suddenly do a reply all, or and then I go back to my old way. So that's just my perspective. I want it to be distinct and separate.
See, I think there might be a split on how people use email and messaging. So at our company, I would say like 99% of internal communication is done via chat, not via email, unless that comes in, it starts externally. Like if Ducks emailed BWW Media Group and it says, hey, we want to do 10 podcasts next month or whatever, you know, pick your action item, then that conversation would probably live in there as the formal chain. But I can guarantee you that it would jump out into a pop out into probably a Teams, honestly. And, you know, we work through it there and then it would get responded to back as a united front, as we typically call it, inside of email. But the first thing is Duck's email will come in, it would get dispersed out, so we're all on the same page. Then in theory, hopefully we all jump into Teams and collaborate that way on the project.
I mean, you mentioned something. I mean, we do the same, at least with my immediate team and the marketing organization. We use group chat, frankly, more than we would jump on a Teams conversation.
Yeah.
What I would wish though is every team that gets created, I wish there's a channel just for group chat. Not a full on channel for conversations or tabs. It's just because you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
There's a group chat going on, but then there's a team, and then it's distinct. Now you're trying to connect the dots.
Yeah, because one of them, if you do it inside of Teams, it's what they call threaded, right? Like you can respond to individual items. But that's that works for when you are very specifically working on bringing a product.
It's like email when you're organized, right?
Yes.
But then when you're trying to go like a rapid back and forth type of brainstorming, and it doesn't work in a it looks weird in a conversation thread.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I would love for, and then, yeah, and I'm just thinking quite literally through my head that it would be great that that general chat was in the messaging or that little chat area, so it would be always there.
Right.
And then when you needed to jump over to do proper, like, documentation or whatever you want to call it, then you can man, that would be nice. Because then I was thinking, too, is what would be great is up near the top or somewhere are, like, the links into that channel.
Exactly. But it's still part of the team, right?
Yes.
Where it's not distinct, so... Yep. Another wish list for Uncle Jeff this holiday.
Yeah, I've got a couple more from him, including making the calendar significantly more useful inside of Teams. I think
it's coming, right?
Eventually. I think the two things that I would say, like, hey, can we get tomorrow is one, be able to change the default download location. That's a huge one for me personally. And then I really just want the calendar inside of Teams to be my one calendar to rule them all, because right now you can't do third-party calendar integrations, which is a challenge for me, especially for like personal stuff, because my wife and I use a shared calendar, and I can't get it into that, and I really, really want to. So,
yeah, I mean, task is a good first step, but it's not quite there yet.
Yeah,
and again, it's separate, right? It's its own thing.
Yep, I just want the RSS feed functionality to work. Life will be good. So Jeff, you know, just call us. We got some good ideas for you.
Well, that's where the Outlook integration may work, right? All the Outlook calendaring goodness.
Yeah.
Imagine if now that's in Teams, that would be so awesome.
That would absolutely be on the wish list. Although we are in the latter half of the year, so I don't know if Uncle Jeff is going to make all our dreams come true, but Microsoft is well aware. Like, they use this product more so than we do. And they use it at a scale which is phenomenal, right? 100,000 plus people. And so they are probably more aware of the shortcomings than anybody else. But, you know, just call us, Jeff. All right, Dux, what else is happening on your end of the equation? You are in the D.C. area. I don't know about there. Like, we had a huge, like, wind event come through. Fall is sort of falling away. How's life in the D.C. area?
Life in DC is great. Fall's beautiful. We've now settled down with the great election, and just looking forward to this holiday season. And it's just also really thinking beyond DC, right? Like, I know we've all been so engrossed in Teams and what's going on in the U.S., but the broader world, there's a lot of stuff going on. So, for example, there was a massive, massive typhoon that hit the Philippines 2 weeks ago. So real quick, Brad, do you know the difference between typhoon and hurricane?
It's where they're located, correctly. One's in the Atlantic, the other's in the Pacific.
Yeah, they're all the same. They're both tropical cyclones.
Mm-hmm.
So just to give you a perspective, the Philippines being where they are, they get hit all the time. But unfortunately, the last couple of weeks, they've been hit by two major typhoons. One, the first typhoon, I think it's called Romel, that went through early November. It was 195 miles per hour. In perspective, Katrina that hit us a few years ago was 125 miles per hour. So 10 days later after that, typhoon came through the Philippines. Typhoon Ulysses came through next, which is around 120 miles per hour. So long story short, it was pretty bad. So a lot of people were left without a home, massive flooding, no internet, no power. I think right now over 300,000 people lost their homes. So they're trying to be relocated. So as such, and we have an office there. Thank goodness all of our colleagues are safe, their families well. But we started a fund drive. So in short, if anybody donates to help with the relief efforts in the Philippines, it doesn't matter what charity you donate to. We recommend the Philippine Red Cross. AppPoint will match your donation. So all you have to do is send in your receipt. We'll match your donation. No questions asked. The details are down there. But yes, if you know, if all of you would just check it out and would be willing and just spread the word to help and donate, I think you know, as anybody and everybody would attest to it, the more we can help each other, the better our world will be.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Ducks. That is absolutely the case. And again, just to reiterate to everybody, you'll find a bunch of good links down below, including the one that Ducks just talked about, because that is a very important cause. Ducks and I talked briefly before this, because obviously we all know what's going on in the world, but that doesn't mean like the normal chaos that exists has stopped. Like, the world is still continuing to evolve. We're just dealing with a pandemic at the same time. It's just fun all around, if you will. So. Yeah. All right, Ducks. Well, we appreciate you coming to hang out, dropping a couple knowledge bombs here, actually. More than a couple, actually, I think, if I counted them all up. I can think of three off the top of my head. To everybody else, make sure you hit the subscribe buttons. Thanks for hanging out. We'll catch all of you right back here next time.
Take care. Bye.